Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 160 for February 6, 2011. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie is continuing his series on discipline with this week's message titled, The Discipline of Sacrifice. Enjoy.
Praise the Lord, you are here, that you are the brave ones. Praise God. Hallelujah. Snow or no snow, winter, summer, spring, as long as we have breath, we will serve the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, turn your Bibles. Stand up and turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's a long story here, but I would like just to read two verses, then we'll go through the chapter together. Verse 24 and 25. But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer on behalf of the land, and the plague and Israel was stopped. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this privilege again of saying your word today. Bless each and every one of us, Lord. Touch our hearts, transform our lives, give us revelation knowledge of your will in our lives, Lord, and help us to obey and commit our lives to the fullest. Bless your people. We pray for your anointing upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our series on the spiritual disciplines that grow godliness. And first we talk about the discipline of worship, then the discipline of meditating upon the Word of God. Then last week we talk about discipline of generosity or giving. Today, I would like to speak on the discipline of sacrifice. Did you get that? Amen. Sacrifice. And we want to be blessed, but praise God, because sacrifice is the key to blessing. You know that? So, as we look at this, I would ask you a question. If you have heard the story of the pig and the hen who were walking by church, and they saw an advertisement asking for donations to feed the poor. And the hen said to the pig, I will donate an egg, but why don't you donate a ham? The pig said to the hen, "That's easy for you, because to you it's only involvement. But to me, it will be commitment." Did you get that story?
Yes.
So the question is, are you involved or are you fully committed to the work of the Lord? Now, one day David had opportunity to be involved in the work of the Lord only peripherally, but he decided against it. Instead, he said, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing." He was saying, "I will not give anything to the Lord that which has cost me nothing." So as you look at this story, let's begin to read this story in chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. It says here, Again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go and make or take census of Israel and Judah." So it's a remarkable story that of what David went through in this. So verse 2, so the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and enroll the fighting men so that I may know how many there are." But Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord the king want to do such a thing?" The king's word, however, overruled Joab and the army commanders, so that they left the presence of the king to enroll the fighting men of Israel. So this chapter begins by saying that the Lord was angry at Israel. Now, we don't know why the Lord was angry against Israel, but because of his anger, he incited David against them, and he said, "Go and take a census of Israel and Judah." Now, in a parallel verse of scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, or 21 rather, it says that it is not God who incited David, it was Satan who incited David to take a census of Israel. You ask Pastor Archie, which one is right? Well, there seems to be an apparent contradiction here, but it could be resolved by recognizing that though Satan is the author of evil, he cannot exercise his evil intentions apart from the permission of God. You know that? There is nothing that will happen to you, all right, that will not be permitted by God. Amen? So we are safe in the Lord. Moreover, God could use him, Satan, to accomplish his own purposes of judgment. And in this case, of course, God used Satan to discipline David. And so the king went ahead and told Joab, the general of his army, and his commanders to number Israel and Judah. And he did it out of a sense of pride. He wanted to know how many fighting men he had. He wanted to know the strength of his army. So in verse 8 to 9, they came back here. It says here, after they had gone through the entire land, they came back to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Joab reported the number of the fighting men to the king of Israel. In Israel, there were 800,000 able-bodied men who could handle a sword, and Judah, 500,000. That was the strength of his army. But later, David realized that he sinned against God. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, David was conscience stricken after he had counted the fighting men, and he said, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I've done a very foolish thing." There is one thing that we could admire David. That's why God told him that he is a friend after his own heart. He made a lot of mistakes, but he was always there, ready to repent before the Lord. Amen? And that should be our attitude if you want to be a friend of God. So God said to David through the prophet God in verse 12, "David, I'm going to give you three options. Three judgments, I'm going to list them, and you can choose which one of them." So in verse 13 to 14, it says here, "So Gad went to David and said to him, shall there come upon you 3 years of famine in your land? Or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you? Or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think over it and decide how I should answer the one who sent me. And David said to God, I am in deep distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but do not let me fall in the hands of men. See, God recognized that, or David recognized that God is a merciful God. He said, Lord, I'm in your hand, I've sinned against you. Let me not fall in the hands of men, because usually men are more cruel than God. But God is a merciful God. Amen. So David chose the latter. In verse 15 to 16, he says, so the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the time designated, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord was grieved because of the calamity, and said to the angel who was afflicting the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to the Lord, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me and my family. Again, David showed his remorse or repentant heart before the Lord. He did not blame anybody else. He said, Lord, I am the one who sinned. I should be experiencing your judgment instead of this people, because during that time, because of the blood, 70,000 men died. So David talked to the Lord that the plague might be stopped, and God commanded him to build an altar in the threshing floor of Arauna. Verse 18 to 23, on that day God went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through God. When Arauna looked and saw the king and his men coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Arauna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant to buy your threshing floor? David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord, and that the plague and the people may stop. Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. O King Arauna, give all to the king. Arauna said also, may the Lord your God accept you. Look at what David responds in verse 24-25, as I've read already. But the king replied to Arauna, no, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. David could have rationalized. He could have said, since Arauna was willing to give me the threshing floor and the oxen and everything that I need to sacrifice before the Lord, after all, I am the king. I should accept it, isn't it? Because people would love to do things for the king. But David did not rationalize it, did not accept it. He could have rationalized that the value of the offering itself was great, and what difference could it make whether David paid it or not? But he did not rationalize this. He said, I will not give anything to the Lord that will cost me nothing. Now, there are three reasons why David said that. Three reasons why when we give an offering to the Lord, a sacrifice unto the Lord, we should say, I'm going to pay for what I give to God. Number one, reason, his sacrifice proved his love for God. Amen. David knew that in paying for the sacrifice, the greater the cost, the greater the love. He said, I will pay for the threshing floor because it proves my love for God in whom I have trusted. So how much did he pay? It says here he paid 50 shekels of silver. That was the only down payment. But if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 25, he paid 600 shekels of gold. That was the full price that he insisted on paying for. So David said, I love God, and this is an expression of my love for God. I'm not going to try to get a bargain. When it comes to serving and worshiping the living God, I'm going to pay for the whole thing. How many of us say in our hearts, Lord, we love you. God, we worship you. But we're looking for bargain prices to serve the Lord. How cheap can be our commitment be? Right? We're looking for a cheap way, looking for a deal in serving the Lord. We have a lot of excuses. But David said, I'm going to pay the full price. Is not that what love is all about? When you love God, when you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, you are willing to pay. Because love will demand sacrifice. And your sacrifice of your time, of your finances, of your whole being is an expression of your love. Amen. Sacrifice means love. And love means sacrifice. That's why David said, I'm going to pay for the whole thing. Amen. So his sacrifice proved his love for God. And our sacrifices will prove our love for God. Amen. Praise the Lord, your sacrifice coming here, even though there is snow. Right? That's an expression of your sacrifice and your love for God. Amen. Now, secondly, his sacrifice proved his appreciation to God. So his sacrifice not only proved his love for God, but he also proved his appreciation to God. Well, David had a number of things to thank the Lord for. For one thing, the Lord stopped the plague and did not destroy the entire city of Jerusalem. But there is more to this story here, because you will know that as he bought the threshing floor, this place would be a very significant place of historical significance, because the temple that David wanted to build and that his son Solomon will build was the same area that the temple was built, the threshing floor of Arauna that is mentioned over here. Now turn to me in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. It says here, and you will see the connection, and that you must understand the significance of this passage. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 2 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied, then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Of course, you know the rest of the story, isn't it? Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son and laid him on the altar. And Isaac was submissive and he did not say anything. And Abraham was ready with his knife to kill his son against the gleaming light of the day. and ready to sacrifice him. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord said unto him from heaven, Abraham, don't do it. And afterward, of course, we come to realize that Abraham did a supreme sacrifice, expressing his supreme love for God because of his willingness to sacrifice his son on the altar to give a supreme sacrifice. But notice what it took place. It says here, it was Mount Moriah. And have you wondered where Mount Moriah is? Mount Moriah is mentioned in another place in the Bible. It is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, which reads, Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Right? Where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite, the place provided by David. Now follow it with me. Here are the mountains on top of Ahab Mountain at one time. Here is the place where Abraham comes and is willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on the altar. 1,000 years later, David appeared on the scene, coming to the scene, and he's buying this top of the mountain where Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. And after David purchased the top of the mountain, that's where Solomon would build the temple. So, and if you go to Jerusalem today, that same spot is where the Dome of the Rock is there. The Muslims built that place in 60 or 690 AD. And about 3 to 4 blocks from that place, there is the top of another mountain called Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary. So I think David in 2 Samuel knew the significance of the top of the mountain. And he was buying the top of the mountain where Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. So David said, how can I stand where Abraham stood, willing to sacrifice his son? How can I stand here and look for a bargain? I cannot do that. That's why David said, this is a sacred place. I'm not offering to God something that will cost me nothing. If Abraham was willing to sacrifice everything, including his son, how can I do that? How can I do against that? That's what David was saying. Amen? So a few blocks from there is Calvary. And if you look at the map of Jerusalem, there's an artery of rocks that runs from Mount Moriah to that hill. And if that place where Jesus, if it's that place where Jesus was crucified, there's a debate of where Jesus was crucified, then Christ was also crucified in Mount Moriah. Isn't it? See the significance here? So this was where Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, where David said, I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. And ultimately, it will be that place where Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice to the sins of the whole world. Amen? So you and I come today to that hill, Mount Calvary. Amen? Even as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, we're coming to that hill of Calvary to receive the free gift of eternal life. And because of our appreciation to our Savior who died for us, how can we stand here in the presence of the Lord? Have heard it? Amen? Unwilling to give a sacrifice unto the Lord, looking always for an excuse to serve God, looking for a bargain, and we say to the Lord, Lord, I give you my second best. I give you a part of my heart. So first of all, David said, my commitment to pay the full price indicates my love for God And it also indicates my appreciation to God for staying the plague, and also my appreciation to God for giving me a place to build His temple. So we're saying, God is saying to us today, this is a place where we could express our appreciation to the Lord for what He has done. Amen. Where we say to God, Lord, we give everything to You, even our lives, for the Savior who died for us. Amen. Number three, His sacrifice proved His worship. That's what worship is all about. Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy go over there, and we will worship. Genesis 22, verse 5. Remember that when Abraham went to Mount Moriah, he did not know that God will provide a ram instead of his son to sacrifice, right? So as far as Abraham was concerned, he thought he would really will kill his son. And he said, that is my worship. He was willing to give everything, the object of his love, Isaac. And he said, I am going to worship. And is not that what worship is all about? Worship in the final analysis is saying, Lord, I want my life to be a sweet smelling savor before You, a sacrifice to You, and I will give my all, glorify Yourself in my life at any expense, at my expense, no matter what the cost is. That's what worship is all about, giving our life to the Lord. Now, if you look at your bulletin, I don't know if you read the bulletin once in a while. What is the bulletin? Okay, why did God, call Abraham to sacrifice his son? There are three lessons in the article in your bulletin that we could gather here, that we can learn from this. It says here in the third paragraph, firstly, that nothing is really ours. Amen. Everything belongs to God. Everything is entrusted to us for safekeeping. This includes what? Our children, our property. We are but custodians of all that we think we possess. When God asks for them, we should be ready to give them up. Jesus Christ called off His disciples from their homes, their families, and their engagement, their hobbies, and asked them to follow Him. Those who hesitated were considered unfit to serve God. That's what the disciples did. They left everything, right? So nothing really belongs to us. Secondly, it says that God's purpose is not to harm us, but to make us better. He may put us through a hard time to sort out all our attitudes, or to mold us in preparation for what He has laid ahead of us, but His plans are always for our own good. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has nothing but the best, amen, lined up for us. And thirdly, this is the greatest lesson that I could learn is this. We only get a breakthrough when we let go and let God be. Amen? That's when the breakthrough happens. When you, stop your hold upon the things, even on your life, and said, God, let You be the God in my life. Says here, Abraham's relationship with God changed when he reached out for the knife to slay the boy Isaac. In Genesis 22, verse 12, God declared, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from Me your son, your only son. In verse 16 of the same chapter, God now went on to swear by himself that because Abraham had not withheld Isaac from him, he would bless him and make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. If Abraham's attention had somehow steered away from Almighty, then God had now managed to bring him back to focus. This is a lesson that we could get in the sacrifice of Abraham. It's only when we give up everything to the Lord that God will send the breakthrough for us. Amen. And that's what worship is all about. One day Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Has not Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites? These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He was saying, talk is cheap to them. Worship is cheap as long as we're only expressing words in our songs and even the words that flow out of our mouth. But God says, I want all of your heart. As the Bible says, sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And if you look at from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God is what? Worthy of all our praises, all of our sacrifice, and is worthy of everything. Amen. In the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, there were some people who were treating God second class, and God was angry. Turn to the book of Malachi with me, chapter 1. It's not in your PowerPoint, but chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 14. And this is what God's indictment upon the people, even the priest in Malachi's day. He says here, chapter 1, Malachi 6 to 14. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that wrong? When you sacrifice crippled and diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would it be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you should shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising of the to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled. And if it's food, it's contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should they accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrificed blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. So what they were doing are this. They were going to sacrifice an animal like a cattle or a lamb. And there is a man, there's a guy who says, this cattle is lame. This cattle has a disease. He's going to die in a few days. You might as well sacrifice it to the Lord. That's what we're saying. So let's give this offering to the Lord. Let's give this lamb to God. This lamb is sickly from birth. It's good one for the Lord. And God says, I'm taking this personally. He says, you really think that I will be pleased with your sacrifices? While you give the best to yourself and to the governor, and you give the deceased ones to me, you're honoring men rather than honoring me, says the Lord. So God was angry with them, and he said, I'm not pleased with you. I will not accept your offering anymore. In fact, you're a curse, he says. You are a curse. So, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, if you really love the Lord, which God has commanded to do, right? To love the God with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all our minds. How can we give him the second best or our leftovers? Amen? Now, let's be personal here about our time. Start with our time. What kind of time do we give to the Lord? Is it the best time, the first time that we have for the Lord? Or is it the leftover time? We say, Lord, it's time to pray. It's time to read my Bible, study my Bible. But you know, Lord, been very busy the whole day. I gave my best to my business, to this and that. Now, Lord, I'm tired. So I'm going to pray fast. Good night, Lord. You think God will be pleased? No. How about money? Do you say, when I get paid, my first responsibility is to God and his work and the missions, he gets the first fruits? You see, when the Israelites in the Old Testament gave their offerings, it was the first fruits, the best part of their harvest. Or do you say, Lord, first, marami kong utang, Lord. I first have to pay my bills, right? Then this and that. Then we need to go out and eat with my family, have a fellowship. Then whatever is left, we'll bring to church. You think God will be pleased? No. So the issue here is our commitment to the Lord. Amen? Whether we offer sacrifice that cost us nothing or the best for God. Somebody said that people choose churches like those they choose airlines. Economy and convenience. Economy and convenience. We choose the cheapest and the most convenient in serving the Lord. But David said, I am not going to offer sacrifice to the Lord that costs me nothing. Can you say that with me? Amen? Amen. Now, one more time, let's go back to Calvary and understand that you cannot really offer anything to God, sacrifice, because God has already given the supreme sacrifice of his son for you. So the message of the cross is that because he bore the judgment for us on the cross, the only thing we have to do is receive. Accept that gift for us. Amen? You say, Brother Archie, it's so easy. Right? So easy. But then Paul says, after you have done that, Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of service. Paul is saying, in the light of what Jesus has done for you, he has chosen you and justified you. He has sanctified you, filled you with his Holy Spirit, and has graciously blessed you with all things and promised that he will come again to take you home with him to heaven. Paul says, now I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Give your life without looking for a bargain. Amen. You give up sin in your life. You give him the best. It may be your time, your finances, your talents, even your relationships. Now, there was a time when the Muslims came to Spain when they were about to overrun the country. It seems that they were about to win victory. In a battle, they were able to capture the son of the king of Spain. And knowing that they had the son, they built a gallows ready to hang him in full view of the palace. And underneath the gallows, they wrote, "Alfonso, will it be the city or will it be your son?" If you're the king, what would you do? Will it be the city or will it be your son? People wondered what decision the king will make. After much deliberation, Alfonso said, "Let my son die that my people live. Let my son die that my people live." And that's what God did at Calvary for us. "Let my son die that people live. Might live." Is that amazing? Amen. So I say to you today, brothers and sisters, we stand in the presence of God. We stand on the hill and the cross. And God is saying to us, in the light of what my son Jesus did for you, how can you be so uninterested? How can you be so half-hearted? How can you neglect my word day in and day out? How can you do that in the light of God's mercy? Amen. So as we come to the communion table today and partake of the blood, the wine expressing the blood of Jesus Christ, and the broken body, the bread, let us remember the great sacrifice that Jesus did for us. Amen. He gave up his best for us. How can we not do less by giving our best for him? Amen. I like what the writer of Hebrews, I was reading Hebrews the other day, and I came to these verses in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ," we are going to enter into the most holy place with the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. Remember the curtain in the temple when Jesus died? The Bible says that curtain was torn from top to bottom. That curtain signifies the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the body of Christ was broken, now we can go into the very presence of God. Amen. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, who is a great priest? Jesus Christ. He's now a great priest interceding for us in heaven. Let us draw near to God with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So we not only worship God with our spirit, with our hearts, with our conscience, with our mind, but even our bodies. We give them as a living sacrifice for God. Amen. Amen. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He's talking about worship here, worshiping God. Then secondly, it says, let us hold unswervingly. Don't give up. Be consistent. Amen. Amen. Be established in your faith. Unswerving to the hope that we profess. For he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another and toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There are five let us here. Because of what Jesus did for us, let us, let us, let us, let us, let us. Amen. Let us enter into His presence. Let us hold fast to our faith. Amen. Let us consider how we encourage, spur one another to love one another and do good things. Let us not give up meeting. Amen. That's what we are doing now. Then let us encourage one another. Because the more as the days are becoming more evil, we need more of that. Amen. We need to be persistent. So David said, no, I am not paying. I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord burnt offering that cost me nothing. Because it displays my love. It displays my what? Appreciation to the Lord. And it displays my worship. Can you say that today? Amen? Amen. Say the same thing to the Lord. Lord, I'm giving my best to you because I love you, I appreciate you, I worship you. Amen? So the discipline of sacrifice. So as we come to the table this morning, let's do that. We commit our lives to the Lord. Amen?
That was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled The Discipline of Sacrifice. If you would like to join us for a Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Our website is ffwcchicago.com. And our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Please feel free to contact us by email, by phone, or check out our events on our website. All right, take care and God bless. I'll see you next week. Bye.